God bless. Thank you for your invitation. Thank you for your hospitality. I want to say to Pastor Eastman, Pastor Leonard Eastman, the head, I really appreciate what he said to me last night. He whispered in my ear and said, take your liberty. I've been in some places where they wouldn't have done that. They'd have just said, okay, you're done, or you only got a few minutes. And I thank you for that, Brother Eastman, because I was a little bit hesitant and I didn't quite know what to do. And I felt rushed as it was, but yet God did so wonderful things, didn't He? And I could have just put the benediction on the thing and said, that's all right. Really thought, Lord, do I have the right message after Brother Hawk's getting up doing whatever? I thought, Lord, I'm in the other neighborhood over here. Praise God. He's working on prodigal sons and daughters, and I'm over here on the anointing. And I thought, boy, we're in two different sets here. But how many know God can do more than one thing? Amen. And we're in a camp meeting. It's not like a regular church, you know. So we're in camp meeting. So thank you, Pastor Eastman, very much for your leadership. We appreciate him so much as being the leader. I appreciate my pastor being here tonight, Pastor Hugo, and Sister Hugo. And I'm glad that they're here tonight. Praise God. Amen. I notice in the morning they ring a bell for Brother Hawk. They haven't rung that bell for me yet. That's why I preach still long. I've been waiting for the bell. They don't ring no bell at night, I notice. Amen. But I've been preaching pretty long. I know I have. But we're in camp meeting. And I just deliver everything I have. Try my best. If you have your Bible, return with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. When the Lord gave me this, I said, Lord, I've preached this before and other camp meetings even. But my heart is so much for Pentecost and so much for the move of God that I just was gravitated back to this scripture, amen, this afternoon as I prayed. 2 Samuel chapter 23, reading at verse, amen, 14. The Bible said, and David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that I would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, that is by the gate. And three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, that it was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. Amen. I want to preach tonight with the Lord's help on the need of returning back. The need of going back. Now, I believe there's a lot of things that we really don't need to go back. But there are essential things which we have forfeited, or we have lost, or whatever we've done. But we are in great need of going back. Can you say amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I like to travel, and I do a lot of traveling, but there's no place like home. And there are times when I'm traveling that I try to keep myself awake, and I've tried everything. I've talked to every evangelist. You chew gum, blow bubbles, sip Pepsi Cola, even choir, just little sips of it, and music blasting, window down, even cold as all get out. Last year, I think my sister-in-law was with me, and she come up with me, and someone else come with me, I forget who else, and going home, I got so tired. And I turned the air conditioner full blast. Now, I mean, ice cubes was in there. But you can't go to sleep freezing half to death. And she said, I'm freezing. I said, put a blanket on you or whatever, because I'm not falling asleep. Amen. And I mean, it got cold in there. Big time cold. Amen. But I'll tell you this much, I didn't fall asleep. I drove all the way home, and I was glad to get home. Praise God. There are times I've pulled in my driveway and just sat there in the car after I've turned the lights off. Yeah, I got an older vehicle that the lights don't turn off on their own. And I just sat there and thought, God, I'm glad to be home. Can you say amen? You understand what I'm trying to say to you? There's a groaning and a longing in the heart of some of God's people that sit in Pentecostal churches that are saying, I'd like to go home. This is not how I was brought up or the power of God or how I came into this, and it's getting stranger and stranger, and I'd just like to go home. Can you say amen? I'm not talking about going home to heaven. I'm talking about returning to your first love. Returning to the first principles. Well, the heart's been doing a tremendous job, even in the mornings. And so David had a desire for the water of the well of Bethlehem. Something drove him to go home. Amen. And he was on his way home, and when he got there, he found that the Philistines had put a hedge around, a hold, a garrison around the well of Bethlehem, even to hinder David from getting home. Amen. And I'd like to say tonight, there's a devil out there that's trying to hinder a lot of God's people from the blessings of God and from receiving from heaven. Amen. He's put a surrounding garrison trying to keep them from the pure blessing of God. The devil don't mind you drinking from a contaminated well. He don't mind you drinking from some other well. But there was something about the well of Bethlehem that David understood a principle there. This is a well of my birthright. This is a well of my home. How dare the enemy come in and surround my home and surround the well as a child that I drank from? Do you hear me? There's a devil out there that's surrounding the well of the Holy Ghost and power of God and stopping the children of God, hindering them from returning home to the blessing that God has for them. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, I want to go home. Hallelujah. Amen. David had a yearning to go home for some reason. Amen. Years ago, I got a yearning to go back home to Morgantown. Brother Andrews knows who that at, and go back to the home place. And they tore it down. Yeah. And everything was changed in the neighborhood. Most of the old folks were gone. And I told my wife, I'm sad now. And I got in the car and I told her, let's just drive away. She said, well, honey, you wanted to see home. I said, this ain't home no more. And I just kind of said, I got it out of my system. Now let's just go. And out of the rearview mirror, I just looked. But there was something in me that just wanted to go home. Oh, to God, that there would be a stirring in the heart of God's people to return to old time Pentecost. Oh, to God, that we would quit listening to the fancy preachers, silver tongue ones, that got ruffles on the collars and probably ruffles on the fruit of the looms even. Amen. Amen. Sissified things, amen, that don't even know how to pray themselves out of a paper bag. And don't even know the rough and the toughness of the ministry. And yet they're leading all, many of them, amen, praise God, astray. Because they've got a nice way of presenting it, and they smile all the time. And almost looks like they ought to be on a toothpaste commercial rather than a preacher. Amen. Come on now. You know what I'm preaching about. Come on now. We need a stirring from the Holy Ghost. A desire to return and turn around. Somebody shout, I got to turn around to go home. David had a yearning to go home. I think God put it in David's heart to go home. I think God stirred the heart of the man of God and said, you're weary, you're tired, you've been fighting a battle. Why don't you go home and get refreshed and get revived and drink from the well of Bethlehem and stir up your remembrance of how it used to be and how I touched you? Can you shout hallelujah? Hey, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying you need God to restore to you the joy of your salvation. I'm not saying that you're not loving God. I'm just saying once in a while, we need God to stir us and let us return to our first love. I was thinking the other day, I believe in a believer's life, there's many periods of awakenings. awakening times when you're not backslid. You just need to get awake. You need stirred. Come on now. You're not backslid. Somebody said he's preaching like I'm back. I'm not preaching like you're backslid. I never called anybody backslid here. Amen, praise God. I'm the first one to tell you I got to go home. I'm the first one to tell you that God has to keep stirring my heart and keep stirring me and touching me, because you just get a little calloused if you're not careful and get a little careless and you're just kind of going through the motions. Come on now. But God said to David, you need to return to your first love. You need to go back to where I stirred you, to where I touched you, to where I ministered to you. Can you say amen? Oh, anybody want to go back? Anybody want to turn around and go back? I hear God say to Jacob, let's return to Bethel. After 25 somewhat years, God never forgot the place that He sanctified and called and touched the man of God. And so 25 years later, God said to the man, God, Jacob, let's return on back. Let's go back to the place of your calling, to the place where I introduced myself to you. Turn around, Jacob, and let's go back to Bethel. Can you shout out? Hallelujah. The call today to the Pentecostal church is, let's go back to Bethel. Don't listen to these newfangled, educated idiots that are trying to tell you that you've got everything now and the forefathers had nothing, and all them holy rollers were uneducated, whatever, and we're educated today. So educated the Spirit of God doesn't move. So educated it's dead like 6 o'clock in the morning. So educated it's just dry and inactive as an old last year's bird's nest. Come on now. Don't let them talk to you now. Don't let them convince you that somehow it's better now than it was then. Come on now. I believe some things change. I understand that we ain't living in the 50s or 40s, the 30s or 20s. Technology has changed. Come on now. Amen. Bless God. And I thank God for some changes, like a cell phone. Amen. Once in a while I do. Amen. Sometimes I curse the thing. Don't even have a thought. My God, whoever invented this, I don't want to even be reached. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad here I can't be reached almost. I have to go out and stand in one spot in the yard and turn like an antenna until I can find a signal. Now you tell me that's modern technology. I'm standing out there like an idiot, looking like a dog, even corners, sniffing around, trying to find a signal. I think someone's looking down from a satellite said, we just made him look stupid again. Ah, glory to God. I don't even know what a laptop, hardly a laptop. I'm like an old preacher that said, when a lady come to me and said, do you want a laptop? Amen, praise God. Computer. Amen. He said, what? Want a laptop? Amen, bless God. He said, what is that? Something you put on your lap? Amen, bless God. Something I can stick on my belly? Amen. She said, you don't understand, sir. There's a lot of people that are behind the times. I understand that. And these educated people, these new people coming out of church, out of colleges, are making fun of old time Pentecost. Years ago, I sat in the living room of my grandmother's trailer, just newly saved a couple years. Come home for the summer for Bible school to spend about a couple days. We never went home for the summer because pastor just had so much to do. You only got a couple of days. When we went to school, he never got home. I left West Virginia at the age of 19 or 20 and never went home. And I'm 53 now. These kids are crying. I can't wait till summer break. And then they go home. And you don't see them again. Or 3 months later, Brother Peretti's got to deal with some stuff. Maybe you ought to just have summer camp. I won't give him that idea. He might run with that. I don't want to take no credit for that. But I remember sitting there. My grandmother had the TV on. And the popular Christian show was coming on. And Nancy Harmon sat there and made fun of all the old time Pentecostals. She sang for A.A. Allen. She said, them little mamas with the bun up in their hair and those little holy rollers. And I told my grandmother, it won't be long till that all falls down. You don't touch God's anointed. Come on now. Come on now. It's one thing if you don't understand it and you just be quiet. It's another thing when you make fun of it. Huh? It's one thing for the children to see someone shout and say, I've never seen this before, and kind of mimic it a little bit. They're a child. But it's another thing for a grown adult that's been in Pentecost to begin to make fun of the old time. Can you say amen? I'm glad we don't live in the dinosaur age. I'm glad. Amen. And there's some things that were preached that weren't biblical. I'll give you that. Amen. Amen. Some things just weren't. I'll tell you. Bless God. But there's some things that we just gave up on and just laid it down. Every child of God needs to go back and get revived. Every child of God cannot live long without the well and the water from the well of Bethlehem. You can't live long without the experience, without the touch, without the anointing, without the power of God. Every child, preacher, deacon, elder, just a son, everybody has to take a visit back. And if the Spirit of God is leading you and dealing with you, He'll call you back to the well of Bethlehem. Can you shout? Amen. Well, I'm too busy. You're way too busy. In the battle of life, you'll faint along the way if you don't return and get refreshed and revived. I think of David when he got too old to fight, but he thought he still was able. And they about got slew by the enemy because his reflexes became dull. Amen. And if you don't stay in the presence of God, and if you don't get a drink from the well of the water of the Spirit of God, your reflexes will get dull. Your senses will get dull. Your discernment will get dull. I believe that the reason why we don't see revival like we ought to is there's no desire, there's no thirst to go back. The devil convinces you that you're all right where you're at. I'm not talking about go back. I'm talking about going back and getting revived. Somehow God told him, you better go back. And He put it in the heart of David to where David said to his mighty men, I don't know why, but I got to go home. I got to go home. If there are seasons of time in your Christian walk where you don't shut yourself in, then there's something wrong with you. If there are seasons of time where God doesn't shut you away and isolate you and begin to call you, deep calling onto deep, and God beginning to deal and say, you've been a long way and a long time fighting in this battle and you need to get away and shut yourself in. If it's been a while since that Spirit of God has spoken to you or you listened to Him, then it's been too long. Do you hear me tonight? The Spirit of God is stirring His children to go home to their first love. Restoring the joy of my salvation. How many people are sitting in the pew just existing? Just existing. Matter of fact, some of them aren't even producing anything anymore. They're sucking the life out of others. I call them leeches. I mean, it'd be enough if they just held their own, but they don't even hold their own anymore, Brother Hawk. They draw out from the good saints of God. Start pulling on them. Well, there's just a few here tonight. Well, there's just this and that. They start drawing on the good saints of God even. I call them leeches. My God, don't let them bloodsuckers get on the good saints of God and start sucking life out of them. I've seen people be in the presence of God, get a touch from God, and watch them old leeches get around them and suck the very life out of them. Well, you didn't
really get much. Well, you know, you said camp meeting, but that was mostly emotional life. And they start working on them. You know why? Because if you can keep the church that slid and cold, then you can sit there and feel comfortable about it. But if it comes alive and God begins to stir the church, there'll be conviction there, and that backslider cannot sit there and be comfortable anymore. So the devil has an agenda, and the agenda is, let's keep the church backslid.
Come on now. Service after service, they don't respond to the altar. Service after service, they don't worship God. The hand goes up maybe once in a while. Speak in tongues every 3 months rather than pray in tongues daily. Huh? I said daily. Well, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When's the last time you spoke in tongues? They said 30 years ago. My God, you should be operating in it. Come on now. He had an yearning to go home. He had a yearning to go home. My prayer is, God, don't let me lose that yearning to go home and be in your presence, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Don't let me lose my thirst. Don't let me lose my zeal. Don't let me lose that, God, because all around me, there are people losing that. All around me, there are people getting comfortable with other wells and drinking out of the contaminated wells of other things. And they've got sidetracked, and the enemy has blinded them. And somehow, because they are not totally backslid or away from God, in a sense that we would say, probably Charles Finney would call them backslid, but we don't call them backslid, but he would call them backslid probably. Amen, bless God. They feel comfortable. If you feel comfortable, there's something wrong with your Christianity. If you've lost your hunger and your thirst, there's something wrong with your relationship. Season after season, time after time, God will call every great man and woman of God back to the well. He called David back. That don't make no sense, preacher. I got to go back to go forward. Yeah. No, that's why the preachers don't want to go back, because it's humble pie. Because you got to admit. Huh? You got to admit that we're going the wrong direction, folks. We got to go back. You got to admit, folks, I'm ready to go. Come on now. We've got to go back. And it's subtle, Brother Frazier, how it happens. I remember in prayer time, he got subtle with me. And people didn't want to pray. So I just wouldn't pray very long, Brother Hawk. They'd pray a while. I could hear him get up. And I'd just get up too. And said, it's kind of awkward. And the Lord said, he rebuked me one Sunday and said, you stay down on your knees as long as I'm telling you, and don't you get up. Amen. Praise God. Service should have started 15 minutes. Amen. I'm still on my knees. They're looking around awkward. And the Lord said, let them look awkward. It's about time somebody breaks this stupid thing and this stubborn rebellion in them. If you're the preacher, you ought to be on your knees. And I said to the church, if God keeps me on my knees all night, amen, praise God, I'll stay on my knees until somebody gets a revelation. They ought to get back down on their knees and help pray with their pastor. They all sit around talking and looking and talking. I'm telling you, it was disheartened, Brother Hawk. I thought, my God, where's the leaders? My elders even looked around, said, this ain't right. Man, we ought to have church by now. That's how backslid, that's how conditioned, that's how much of a ritual and a ceremony we've got. I'm going to tell you, the Pentecostal church, some of them are no better than the Catholic church. They do the same thing, the same thing, the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. Evangelized the church, sat in the back, got in late. I have an awful habit when I don't know where I'm going. I think I don't judge time good or distance. And I was late, Brother Hawk. Slipped in the back, a young man sitting back here. He said to me, I can tell you what's going to happen in this service. I said, my Lord, he's got discernment. He said, so-and-so is going to get up and sing 3 songs. These are the songs they're going to sing. So, wow. He said, so-and-so is going to get up and testify, and this is what they're going to say. I said, wow. He said, while they're saying that, this one's going to do a little woo-hoop and whoo, whoo, whoo. And that'll be it of that. And he named it all down. And I thought, either he's got the greatest discernment of spirits and wisdom, a word of wisdom, or they've been doing this for a long time. I wish the first was right, but the second one was right. They've been doing that for a long time. If God wanted four songs, He couldn't get a four song if He sent Michael down, or Gabriel even, to announce it. It was three and done. Three and done. We don't care if God's moving. We don't care. I mean, it could be a move of God. We'll knock everybody down, and the song leader going to sing three. Now, don't fall out with me. I've been in some churches where they had to sing longer. I was in one church that had to sing an hour. An hour. Every service was an hour. The song leader sung from 7:30 to 8:30. You could time it every night. Whether them people were doing anything or not. Them people were chewing gum, amen, bless God, picking the wax out of their ears, and he's still singing. I wanted to grab a mic and holler, the next bus is going out, amen, because it looked like a bus station rather than church. So we can go the other way. We can go the other way. We can either be short and dead or long and dead. But I like what Brother Lombard used to say and taught me well. I was taught by two song leaders that were the best. Brother Lombard and Brother Lawson, babe. And Brother Lamarck said, you can take a dead man and put him on the fastest train in the world, but when the train ends, he's still a dead man. You can put him on the slowest boat to China, and when the boat ends, he's still a dead man. Somewhere along the line, he told me, you got to find the mind of God, and you got to pray heaven down. That's a song leader. That's not even the preacher. That's a song leader. The song leader need to get the mind of God and pray heaven down.
Sunday school teacher says, well, my job's not important. I'm just teaching children. You need to spend so much time on your knees, about the same amount the preacher spends teaching them children. Run in there, can't even find your songbook. Can't even find the quarterly. Read it upside down. Don't even got it marked. Running in there. Them poor little kids, they got them big old eyes. They're ready to receive something, and you can't even give them anything because you're not prepared. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can look at the scene of the church and the wide scene of it, and you can say with me, can't you not, with a healthy amen, we've got to go home. I'm not being critical. I understand. I'm in the same boat. I'm like a black preacher friend of mine that said, brother, your family come over on the Mayflower. Really, they come over on the boat because of the potato farming famine in Ireland. But he said they come over on the Mayflower. Mine come over on a slave ship. But we all in the same boat now, brother. And I'm here to tell you, it don't matter what flavor, Pentecost, we all in the same boat. I ain't criticizing the criticizer or to lift myself up. I have a burden, a heart's desire. There's something that cries out inside of me saying, let's go home.
Let's stir ourselves. Go back to the well. The well that refreshes. Go back to the well that restores the joy of our salvation. Let's lay aside all these things, programs and all kinds of junk. Let's just go back to the well first and ask God's blessing. Ask God's anointing. Amen. How many pray when you pick your curriculum? God, we want anointed curriculum. Oh, we just pick anything. Just teach anything. Oh, God, we want your blessing. We need to go to the well before we do anything. We need to go to the well before we preach. We need to go to the well before we sing. We need to go to the well before we teach. We need to go to the well before we even pray. Can you say amen? Before we kneel down with our preconceived idea, praying our selfish prayers, how about we go to the well? Just one drink from the water of the well will change your vision. Change your understanding. Change the desire within you. Can you say amen? Oh, somebody, we need a drink from the well of Bethlehem.
Hallelujah. But David had a surprise when he got there. Somehow, the Philistines understood the significance of that well too. I wondered, Lord, what's the significance of this well when there's other wells around? Why would the Philistines surround this well? And how did they get the intelligence or somebody tell them somehow? They weren't even the Obama administration listening in on us. But somebody leaked it out and said, David's heading to Bethlehem. I'm going to say this and it might hurt. But I'm going to say the devil knows the importance more than you do of the well. The Philistine didn't sit there and say, well, okay, he's going back. Well, that's fine. No, they knew he was tired. They knew he was weary. And they knew for some reason his God was leading him back to the well. And so the devil had enough sense to say, let's stop it. Let's surround. Let's hinder him from getting there because there's a reason for him to be there. So the devil tonight understands your condition. He understands how to hinder you from getting back. Do you hear me? And he's doing a good job of it, is he not? He surrounded that well with a garrison. A simple well. What's a drink of water? But Bethlehem represented to David his birthright. Bethlehem represented to David where he was born. Can you say amen? And I'm here to tell you, the devil has no right to trespass on my born-again experience. He has no business trespassing on my testimony. Can you say amen? Ain't nobody got a testimony like mine because he done individually for me. You got your own testimony. Can you say amen? And when you let the devil trespass and rob you of your testimony and rob you of the joy of your salvation, come on now. You need to draw from the well of salvation with joy. And the devil wants to stop you. He'd rather you just sit in the pew and die there and just not rise up. He knows that a drink of that water will revive in you the joy and the joy of your salvation.
When I first come into Pentecost, you know, I was a Methodist boy. And for the first year or so, and got filled with the Holy Ghost in Methodist Church. Went to a home prayer meeting with Dr. Ware. And I didn't know they prayed in houses. It was unique to me. Went there. And they turned around and prayed hands on me. Laid hands on me. And the power of God knocked me over a couch. I was behind the couch. 4 o'clock in the morning is when they shut down the prayer meeting. Someone told me young people were praying in here last night till 2 o'clock. I like hearing that. That's old time. Young people, you get a hold of that, and God will get a hold of you, and you'll never backslide. You'll be something for God. Can you say amen?
Finally, they got ready to shut the lights off, and somebody said, we left that Methodist boy behind that couch. I was drunk in the spirit. Didn't even know what it was.
And they picked me up, carried me out, put me in the back seat of the car. Take me to my aunt. My aunt smelled me up one down. The other thought I was drunk. I told her, I don't know what this is, but it feels good. And it's all over me. And I said, I think this is what we've been looking for. She said, you're crazy. I'm going to bed. Amen. I said, turn the lights off. I think I'm glowing in the dark. Hallelujah.
Oh my. Do you remember when you first were saved? Do you remember the joy of your salvation? Do you remember your testimony? What I was getting ready to say was, them old time saints would get up and testify. Tears come down their face. Every time. There wasn't a time that they didn't testify. That you didn't feel the power of God or the Spirit of God or God move on them. And I said to myself, how can they consistently keep that joy? And the answer was they went to the well every day. Can you say amen?
We try to go to the well on just Sunday morning and try to survive in a dark and wicked world. We go to the well maybe Sunday morning, Sunday night and try to survive. But I'm here to tell you, we're living in a wicked world. We better find home. We better find the well. Can you say amen? The devil may be hindering you and fighting you, but you better break through. The devil knew we got to stop David. You know why? It was the place of his birth. It was the place where he was born. He had a birthright there. Can you say amen? The devil had no right to that territory. And I'm here to tell you, Brother Frazier, we need to stand up and be not ashamed that we're blood washed, born again, changed Christians, new creatures in Christ Jesus. We need to stand up and boldly tell the devil, we're glad we're saved. stubbornness of our salvation. David headed down there. The second thing was, it was the place of his first anointing. In the place of his first calling. When God poured the oil over his head by Samuel's hand, he went over him out of the horn of that ram's horn, and the oil poured on him, and God called him as a deliverer. He was heading back to his first call. He was heading back to his first anointing. Can you say amen? You're never too big in this thing not to head on back. You're never too big in this thing to think you've arrived, because you haven't arrived. There's only one source that'll help you, the anointing of the Spirit of God. There's only one place you can go when you need a blessing, when you need revived. Your preacher can't give it to you. The evangelist can't give it to you. But I'll tell you who can. He's the watcher of the well. He's the one that sat on the well and waited for the woman to come on by. Can you shout hallelujah? I'm here to tell you, this well has everlasting water and shall not run dry. He's the keeper of the well. If my preacher lays hands, your preacher can't pray you out of that. That's a problem. Lay hands on me. No, I'm sorry. The Spirit of God's telling you, head on home. That's where you need to go right there. And you need to get along with Him. And you need to say to Him, I need your help. I don't know how I got away here, but I need your help. Someone said, I don't know why he's preaching this after last night. I don't know why either. Praise God. Hallelujah. Maybe we need to head on back. We get a little touch. That's just a little touch. That's not heading totally back yet. Come on now. Somebody said that's a meeting. Man, we haven't seen meeting. I won't tell you what. Amen. Praise God. The reason why you haven't seen it is because we haven't gone back. Can you say amen? We need to go on back. Can you shout hallelujah? Amen. To our first love. To our first calling. To our first anointing. The Philistines knew that. The Philistines knew that. And said, we're going to stop him. I feel a devil in here tonight talking to somebody and saying, you ain't going to get the Holy Ghost. That's just a figment of your imagination and just emotionalism. Or somebody saying, you know what? When you used to dance, that was just emotionalism. And the devil has enough lies and enough excuses to talk you right out of it. But is anybody hungry enough to break through those lies? Anybody hungry enough to let your hunger and your thirst jump on somebody else? Let me tell you something. David's hunger and yearning was so convicting and so deep that it touched three men that didn't even understand. Why? David, why? We do not understand why you need a drink. We do not understand why you yearn and you cry for a drink of that water. But we love you so much and believe that if you need it, we'll break through that garrison. You don't hear me tonight. You may be the catapult for someone else. Come on now. You may be the little spark that catches the flame on something else. Can you say amen? I've told this illustration, but I'll tell it again. And I'll probably repeat myself over and over. Amen. Praise God. I have my wife here to remind me of that. So I can do. I'm free of that. Amen. Joanna, a few years back, my Joanna, she come out of Bible school. I wish they had taught her to build a fire down there, Brother Hawk, but they didn't. Because she said, Daddy, I can take care of the fire. Up in Central City, we have wood stove and coal. I said, honey, zero weather. You got to keep a watch on it. Oh, I'll be all right. Go down there. Half an hour before church, I can lay my hand on the stove. You know what we got there? I said, oh, Lord, it's cold up there. People are going to be coming. And I said, how am I going to build a fire? I opened up that thing, and I thought, my Lord, there's nothing but ashes here. And I blew around a little bit. And all of a sudden, I seen a little ember. He's flickering in there. I could hear him say, I'm still here. I'm alive. I said, my God, there's nothing in it but ashes. It's all dead. And I could hear him say, no, I'm here. I pulled about with a little shovel. And I laid him down and blew on him. Come on, buddy. Stay alive. You're my source, brother. Ooh, come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. They'd have took me away if they'd seen me what I was doing. Ooh, come on, bro. Amen. I take kindling and break kindling. Take some newspaper. Get the environment a little bit combustible. I'm blow all while I'm doing that, brother. Pick it up. I'm moving back over here. Come on, brother. You got to live. You're my only source. I can't start a fire. Come on. Some people, their Pentecost experience is like one brother who tried to build a fire in a wood stove and threw gasoline in. Whoa, he got a fire in half. Blow all things to with smithereen. Or some people, they like to put in kerosene, or you know, speed it up. But a master of fires knows how to build a fire. I have to admit, I cheat a lot. But somebody that knows how to build a fire, they don't cheat. They understand how to build a fire. Can you see me? Because sometimes I found out when you throw kerosene in and you cheat, the fire really don't burn. You get a burning fire, but it's not a good fire. It don't last. Anybody with me right now? We're about ready to end this thing. And you're about ready to shout. I can see it in your eyes. Hallelujah. Oh, man. That's what we got in the Pentecostal. A bunch of cheaters. A bunch of flash in the pan. Throw a little kerosene on it. Let's get a little fire. Ooh, 5 minutes, 10 minutes of it. Preach something entertaining. Be an entertainer. Be a comedian. Make people laugh. Make entertain people. And then they leave feeling good. But on Monday, when the devil comes and they got to build their own fire, no one saw them how to build a fire. But I'll tell you what, the Daddy Glasgow's and the men of God of old that we come up under, I'm going to tell you, they taught you how to build a fire. They said, it's right there. You go there. You get the kindling. You get the paper. You prepare to build a fire that'll last you not only Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, you're coming back in with a fire. Cheap fire, even this strange fire, if I could put it that way. People come in and they don't even have enough fire to get to Wednesday night. Amen, praise God. Some of them don't have enough fire to get to Sunday night. Some of them don't have enough fire to get to church at all. Are you listening to me? Because they just turn the TV on and say, you preach to me and make me a little happy, and you throw a little bit of kerosene on it. But that's not a real fire. Can you say amen? When God sent a fire out of heaven, he sent a fire that consumed. And then God told the children of Israel, you maintain this. You keep a you maintain this fire. You don't hear me tonight? God sent the fire, but our responsibility is to maintain the fire.
So I was blowing on that little amber. Come on, live. Come on, live. I feel like I'm doing that to my church sometimes. Come on, live. Come on. Come on. Come on. Pray more than 5 minutes. Come on. Can't you stay down for 10? My God. Come on. Amen. Then you got to say, well, you know, then they say, well, we don't have to kneel at the altar. We can pray in our car. And we can pray here. And we can pray there. Yeah, they don't even do that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If they did that, maybe they'd have a little bit of fire. Praise God. If you can't pray at your church for 10 or 15 minutes, don't give me this garbage that you're praying in your car. Try to lie to me. Well, I pray in my car. Well, bless God, I do too. But I also pray in church. And when the altar call is given, or before the altar call, I get down and pray. And I stay there. Come on now. Mothers of the church that used to get down to pray, they were good for an hour. They'd leave a little room for me to get right in and listen to them pray. Mother Pingley would say, and I'd say to her, Mother, I don't know how to pray. She said, stay down here and I'll teach you. Listen to me. Listen to how I come to God. I tried to get up and she was 72 years old and I tried to get up when I was 18. She said, come on back down, son. We ain't done yet. But Mama, my knees hurt. She's 72. How dare me. My knees hurt, Mama. She says, it'll get to the place where you don't feel nothing in your knees anymore. Ah, she she's right there. Amen. She's right. And the blood won't, you won't even be able to get up after a while. Don't worry about it. If you stay down long enough, as a matter of fact, when you get a little older, if you get down, you'll probably stay there till the next service. Come on now. There ain't nothing wrong. You don't got to get on your knees. You can pray sitting. You can pray walking. Don't fall out with me over that. You understand what I'm trying to say? Amen. Be diligent about the fire. I blew on that ember. I said, you got to stay alive. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, you got to stay alive.
It's not a matter of whether you want to or not. You got to. In a world we live in, lukewarm. Come on, in the church we're living in, lukewarm.
You've got to make up your mind to stay alive. Your atmosphere might be dust, it might be ashes, it might not be, but God can give you the fire and stir you. Can you say amen? When I put that little amber back in there and got the atmosphere around him and blew on him, he lit everything else around him. He began to light up. And the next thing you know, amen, he's controlling the situation. Can you say amen? I think of the Apostle John. They put him on the Isle of Patmos and they thought, that's good for the old man. He's going to die there among lunatics and criminals. But the Bible said on the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit. Can you shout hallelujah? He tuned out everything around him and got in the Spirit. You need to tune out all around you and get in the Spirit. Can you shout hallelujah? Come on, raise your hands toward heaven. Come on, raise your hands toward him and say to God, I've got to live. I've got to be alive. Take me back. Give me a breakthrough. Come on, lift your hands like you're desperate, like you're hungry, like you're thirsty. Someone ought to praise him. Come on! I'm just a little ember in a world of ashes. I'm just a little ember and things around me that I can't control. But God will keep a fire burning in me, the Holy Ghost and fire, and I will drink from the well of my salvation. There ain't a devil in hell that can stop me.
Oh, God. Come on, stand to your feet and raise your hands. Come on, stand to your feet and raise your hands all around this tabernacle. Begin to cry out to God. Lord, I want to go home. The Philistine had robbed me long enough. What I felt last night was good, but I want to go home. I want to have it on a consistent basis. I want the Spirit of God moving in my life in a consistent way. Lord, I'm sorry for the condition I'm in. I'm coming home. I'm heeding to the call of the Spirit of God, and I'm coming home. Oh, my God. Will there be Pentecost for our grandchildren? Will there be Pentecost? Will they know the power of God? Will they know old time camp meeting? Will they know about a prayer meeting? Will they know about an altar service? Will they know about somebody getting drunk in the Spirit? Someone lifting their hands and shout. Will they know? When I look at my grandchildren, I say, God, not just for me, but for my grandchildren, I must go home and keep the fire burning. My little cameo go to her pastor and say, you know, our pap-pap, he hollers a lot. Our pap-pap, he screams and hollers. And I know him well. He used to be old time Church of God. I know him well. He grew up in the fire. Now he's a new modern kind of sit down. Laid back, look like a nightclub rather than the church. I ain't being critical. I'm like you, Brother Hawk. I ain't being critical. I couldn't even read my Bible. So dark in there. Got the Bible right here. But I was thanking God they were preaching out of the Bible. Because some of them just get to read or digest or just tell a story. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story tonight. Not even open the Bible. Huh? Someone plinking on the piano. No lights. I'm waiting for someone to come and give me my Italian dinner. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I want to raise my hand and say, if I wanted to eat in the diner, I'd eat there. But I'm in church. Come on now.
Oh, don't fall out with me. Somebody said, I don't like you, Brother Brady. Well, I love you. I don't know why you don't like me. I know there has to be change in some ways. And the young preachers, they say change. And I say to them, it depends on what you want to change. I know we don't live in the 50s. Huh? That's right. They got iPads and tablets and computers and they put it all on that thing. And I don't condemn them for that, Brother Cow. If you do that, God bless you. God bless you. I hope you do it. Because it's a beneficial, Brother Hawk. I see it. But I'm just that old paper napkin or whatever I can find to get a revelation. I write it on and then I blow my nose on it and think, oh man, I just threw around a revelation. I just threw a revelation. My God, help me, Jesus. And I'm just from the old way. And it's hard for me to change. But I understand there's some change. I understand that. I ain't banging preachers. Feel like I've hit a lot of preachers. Don't make you feel like I'm banging because we got good preachers. Good young preachers too. I love all our young preachers. I ain't banging them. But we, as older preachers, have to constantly remind them that it's not by entertainment, nor by charisma, nor by personality, but it's by the water, the well. We have to keep taking them back to the source. Come on now. Taking them back to the source. I'd like to say it's 2013, but the source hasn't changed. Some things have changed, but the source hasn't changed. David's been a while from the well, but the water didn't change. It was just as crisp, just as good, and just as refreshing as it was when he left it. Can you say amen? And I'm here to tell you, amen, the source hasn't changed. Brother Pickett, it hasn't changed. Jesus is still as refreshing, as reviving, as he's always been. Can you say amen? Oh, somebody lift your hand and praise the Lord. Begin to worship the Lord. Say, Lord, take me back. Stir my heart. Give me a desire. Amen. To drink from the well of salvation. Oh God. Oh God. Can I do what the Lord told me to do? The Lord told me to call every preacher up here that would come. I want every preacher to come. Every evangelist, every pastor. If you're called of God, I want you up here. All right? Normally us preachers pray for. We pray. But the Lord spoke to me this afternoon and said, I want my people to pray for the preachers tonight first. Can you say amen? Come on, our preachers. Come a little closer here because they're going to have to come by you. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn around there. Turn around and look at them. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. This is how I want to do it tonight. This is how I want to do it. I want three to come out of that section right there. Three that feel the witness of the Spirit that you're to pray for these preachers tonight. Oh, somebody said, I don't like this. You're turning the tables on us. Yeah, it's about time. All right, go ahead and disobey God. All right, I'll give you one more chance. Three. There's three distinct people that ought to come out of there. You know who you are. You know who you are. System Lord, come on. You know who you are. Hallelujah. There's three out of this section here. Three out of this section. One, two. There's one more. Come on. Someone said, I've never seen such a thing. Well, hang on. It's going to get a little more. Come on. All right. Did I get three out of there? I got two out of that section. I'm going to ask you one more time to obey God and come. All right. Come on. We got more than three, but that's fine. Come on. Out of this big section, I need five. I need five out of this section. How many I'm getting? One? My Lord, I like this section here. Oh, I like this section. They're moving. Praise God. Not just because God didn't pick you out, don't mean you're backslid or whatever. Come on up. We'll take more than five if you feel moved. Hallelujah. Out of that side section, I need three. Out of that section right over there, where I'm pointing my finger. I need three. I got one, two. Come on, I got three. That's right, Sister Hugo. Oh, you're a preacher. Sister Hugo, you're a preacher. I know that for a fact, because I've heard you preach. I didn't even know you wasn't up there, but go ahead and get up there, Sister Hugo. Please, if you will. I'm being very kindly and asking you. Diana's put you on the spot. She is a pastor. She's a preacher. She's not just the pastor's wife. She's a pastor. She pastors right along. Go on up in the front, Sister Hugo. Is there any other women preachers that kind of feel like you'd offend somebody if you got up here in the front because you don't want to offend anybody? But I believe in women preachers, so you ain't offending me, and I'm running the service. I'm the evangelist right now. So if you're a woman preacher, get up in line. All right. I wouldn't want to be you if you are a woman preacher and not up here, or a preacher at all. I don't care if you're just starting out. If the call of God's on your life and you're just starting out preaching, I'd like for you to be up there. Huh? Come on now. I'm looking. We got every preacher up here. Amen. All right. Did I get three out of that section over there? All right. Praise God. Move up, preachers, about three, four more steps there at least. Move up here. All right. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn to pray. They've been beating on you for a long time. Now you can... Now you can pray for them. Come on. Get ready. Come on. Come on. Preachers, you get ready to receive. And children of God, you get ready to pray. Lift your hands. Other ones back there, you pray too. And believe God. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, we need a drink from the well of Bethlehem. We need a fresh anointing, a reviving, Lord, inside of us tonight, oh God. Here we are, Lord, we're crying out, my God. We see the hour and the time. We understand the condition. And yet inside of our heart, there's a yearning. There's a stirring to go, Lord. And we pray tonight, God, stir every preacher here. Touch them in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let the power of God come upon them. That, Lord, they'll break through the garrisons of the Philistines. And victory, my God. Turn around, Lord. Oh, God, we pray tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All right, people of God, come on. Gather around them. Gather around them. Go to the one God tells you to pray for and gather around them. Go to the one God tells you. God will tell you who to go to. Be led by the Spirit and let God lead you to the one you ought to go to. I would prefer men with men, women with women, the women. Amen. That would be decent, I think. But all go to somebody and pray. Come on. Let God lead you. And pray that God will anoint them. Pray that God will strengthen them. Pray that God will touch them. Pray that God will minister. Pray that God will move and work in a mighty way. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, will somebody be so kind back there to go to my pastor and just lay a hand on him and ask God to bless him. Brother Jason, would you be so kind to go there and ask God to bless him? Ask God to touch him and minister to him. Brother Warren, would you be so kind to pray for my pastor and ask God to bless him? Would there be one more that would be so kind to go and pray for Pastor Hugo and ask God to strengthen him and touch him? I feel free. Oh God. Oh God. Send heaven down. Oh God. Send a stirring of the Spirit of God like never before, Lord. Oh God.
Come on, Let it breathe. 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 the Lord shall breathe on me. Oh, let it breathe over me. Oh, let it breathe over me. Oh, let the breath of the Lord now breathe over me. Let it breathe over me.
Breathe on the Lord. Breathe on the Lord. Breathe on the Lord. We need your touch. Breathe on the Lord. Breathe on the Lord. Breathe on the Lord. Breathe on the Lord. Let it breathe on me. Oh, let it breathe.
Oh,